Holy Spirit, as you have called us and filled us, and you've called us to follow Jesus, the one who said his yoke is easy and burden light, show that to us today. And as we look into your word, show us what you have for us to continually make us like him. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look through, as I said earlier, the Acts 2 story and look at half of it. Cuts off the middle of Peter's sermon and look at the other half next week. And it's just a couple pages back on your bulletin. Let's see, what page is that on? Page 14. But it starts out with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they, the disciples, were all together in one place. There's actually a lot in that little verse. I think we often think of Pentecost as only this New Testament holiday, this new thing, but then here it says, when the day of Pentecost came. That is, it already existed. Pentecost is not something new, but actually something very, very old. And that right away gets to one of the things we're going to talk about today. It's actually the second point, so reverse order. But we'll go back and forth between them. But the second thing is God uses what already exists. God uses what already exists. So Pentecost was a longtime festival God commanded in the Old Testament, one of three major pilgrimage festivals. So all Jews, all male particularly that were able, were supposed to come to Jerusalem for these. Passover, Feast of Booths, and Feast of Weeks. And Pentecost is Feast of Weeks, or Jews call it Shavuot. And it was an agricultural festival when the first fruits of the wheat harvest, the grain came in, they would go and offer some of it to God of their first fruits. They also gave their animals and some for sin offering and peace offering. But of a part of Pentecost, they would then take the grain and the first fruits and make two loaves of bread. And then they would take them to the temple and give them to the priests who would then wave them before God. And the Bible talks about this, calls it a wave offering. I thought, that's kind of interesting. You didn't bring two loaves of bread, so I'd wave them before the altar today. But kind of reminded me of, at rock concert, people holding up lighters and now cell phones, you know, kind of, woo, wave. Well, that's what they did with loaves of bread. So God made this up long before you saw it anywhere else. And it happened on Pentecost. Pentagon, five-sided building. Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. Passover is when God saved his people from Egypt. Miraculously, they come out and they get to the Red Sea, and then God miraculously parts the waters and they cross it and then destroys the Egyptian army, and then they are in the desert with no water and no food, and God feeds them manna and gives them water from a rock, and they eventually come to, 50 days later, to Mount Sinai. And they camp there, and Moses goes up to the top to receive instructions from God. And then you read Exodus 19, what happens at Mount Sinai? God appears, and there's a thick cloud, and there's thunder, and there's lightning, and there's smoke, and there's fire. And then Deuteronomy tells us that from the midst of the fire, God speaks. And then God gives the Ten Commandments. So verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Now people say, well, where were they? Some say the upper room, some say in the temple courts because they would have been there worshiping. Either way, they're somewhere close because as soon as this all happens, everybody hears it and there's a huge crowd. So verse 2, it says, suddenly like a sound of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole place where they were staying, and what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. So God uses what already exists. This Old Testament festival they were already celebrating, commemorating God giving the Ten Commandments where there was thunder and fire and God speaking. God appears in thunder and fire and God speaks. Now we'll keep going. Verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from all over, every nation. And when they heard all this, they all came together and were bewildered, saying, what's going on? Each of them were hearing their own language being spoken. And utterly amazed, they say, wait a second, aren't these people talking, aren't they Galileans? How is it that we're all hearing in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents, Mesopotamia, all these places. You put those on a map around Jerusalem, it's just all around the whole world, all these people. And they're saying, we're hearing about the goodness of God in our own language. That's the other part. That's actually the first part. God speaks your language. Might seem simple, but God speaks your language. At this pilgrimage festival, people from all over the world speaking natively, all these different languages come, and at Pentecost, they bring their loaves to offer and wave and all these other stuff, and the priest would help them. And one first century well-known Jewish writer, Josephus, writes about this, and he says that people often got embarrassed because they didn't know Hebrew. They spoke their native language from wherever they were from. But they were supposed to come and give their offering to the priest and worship God, but they got really embarrassed because they didn't know Hebrew, and so they mangled the words and didn't feel like they were worshiping God right, or they didn't know what to do. And so the priest would then kind of would take the loaves and wave and would kind of say, hey, repeat after me. And they would say it, kind of like wedding vows, right? So you don't forget, just repeat after me here. So the priest would kind of repeat in Hebrew, and then the people would kind of mangle their way through it, kind of feeling bad. Well, I love this because it means on the day when foreigners are embarrassed about not speaking God's language, God speaks their language. When a day when they are often feeling embarrassed about not being on the outs and not knowing, God comes and speaks their language. They all hear it. Yes, God speaks your language. Peter spoke Aramaic, presumably, but then people all over the world heard it in their own. It's as if I'm speaking clearly English today, and you all heard me in Spanish or German or Dutch or French or Arabic or whatever your native language is. And then all the people, here's verse 12, they say, it says, they're amazed and perplexed, and they said to one another, what does this mean? Like Luther's catechism, good Lutherans, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. And then Peter stands up and says, listen up, every one of you. They're not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. But this is what the prophet Joel prophesied hundreds of years before. And Joel said that in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men see visions. Old men dream dreams. Everyone, men, women, I will pour out my spirit on all of them. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So first thing, God speaks your language. And second, God uses what already exists. So let's unpack both of those a little bit. God speaks your language. Yes, we often say, yes, God created all people, and God created all things, and yes, Jesus lived, and Jesus died, and Jesus rose for all people. But in a personal sense, what does that matter that that's true if it doesn't actually mean something to you? The Holy Spirit makes that known to your heart. The Holy Spirit is God in you. The Holy Spirit speaks the gospel to your heart. That means Jesus doesn't just forgive everyone and seek everyone out there. Jesus forgives your sins. Jesus wants your heart. The time you lost your temper, or the time you were unfaithful, or the time you were selfish with time or money or whatever it is, or the innocence that you stole from someone else, or the time that you spread gossip and it really hurt someone, or the time you cheated on that test. Jesus died for you. God speaks your language. And Jesus rose for you. When your breakup felt so painful that you just wonder how you can go on. Or your diagnosis is terminal and you wonder, where is God? When your depression was so deep that you just couldn't get out of bed. When you wonder why at school nobody wants to be your friend. Or when you always seem to be the company's second choice for the position. God speaks your language. The Holy Spirit tells you that Jesus rose from the dead for you. God will make all things new, including you, including me, including this city, our community, and the entire world. And even if it feels like no one else understands you, friends or family, or even your own spouse, God does. God knows your heart. God knows your hurts. God knows your pain. God knows your struggles. God knows your hopes and your dreams. And the Holy Spirit speaks your language and tells you the love of Jesus for you. And God also uses what already exists. Pentecost wasn't a new thing. It was a very, very old festival that God had told them to celebrate. And they were being faithful to God on that day. God used what was already there, including right down to the wind, fire, and his voice from the Mount Sinai story to do something incredibly new. God works with what already exists to do something new to bring people to Jesus. God doesn't need you to necessarily have some crazy spiritual experience for you to be useful in God's kingdom. I think often, at least in my own life, I start to think, man, what a cool Pentecost thing that was, and I've never seen something like that, or I've never experienced that. And then we can start to think, well, maybe I'm not spiritual enough, or I don't have enough faith, or I've never seen tongues of fire or miraculous things like that. And then we start to say, well, I've never had that, so my faith isn't that strong, and then I might not be all that useful to God, and I could never do much in God's kingdom. Wrong. God specializes in taking what is already there and using it. Look at Jesus in his very incarnation of him being born. God didn't send some weird alien to the world, or not even a futuristic robot or something way beyond us. When God came near, he came as a person with feelings and earlobes and nose hairs to be trimmed. God enters the real world and real life, and God uses your everyday life for the kingdom. God uses what already exists to bring about his salvation for the world. When Jesus' bloody, beaten, and pierced, and wounded body was raised from the dead on that first Easter, his body still showed the signs of pain. His wounds showed. They were healed, but you could see them. Jesus didn't become this magically, entirely different person. No, it was the same Jesus, just risen. You see, God actually wants to use you as you are. God wants you to be you. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit to be you, and we all are filled with the Holy Spirit to be us, the church, then we are actually living out Pentecost. God used Peter and the other disciples not as something different, but as the normal, everyday, broken yet made new people that they were to show others Jesus. They were themselves. God uses what already is. And you just see that in the reading, right? What happens when Peter starts talking? There's two things people ask. What do they ask? The first thing is, aren't they Galileans? Which means, hey, these guys are just those normal, regular people from up north. What's gotten into them? And the other question they ask is what? Are they drunk? God actually wants to use you in his kingdom. As you are and who you are. And it could be your success story. We all like it when it's that. But it also could be your failure. It could be your forgiven sin. It could even be your receding hairline, which I wouldn't put beyond God to use anything. And you see, God doesn't just want to use you as a person. He wants to use us. He wants to use Zion Lutheran Church as filled with the Holy Spirit, God's people, to influence this city and this world, as we are. And not some perfect picture of who we wish we were, but who we actually are. God wants to use even bigger than that for his world, and does use Christians to bring peace to conflicted areas of the world. I know Christians who work in Iraq and other places to bring peace. And God uses willing people in remote parts of the world to even translate the scriptures so that they have them in their own native language. God speaks your language, and God uses what already exists. So for us, the questions would be, will you listen? And will you let God use you? Will you listen, and will you let God use you? Because God speaks your language, and God uses what already exists. In Jesus' name, amen.